I started going to county commissioner meetings, which are extremely hard to get to Monday morning, 9 a.m. But, you know, I got there regularly. And at that time, we didn't know if Kathleen Clare was going to run or not. And, you know, I don't have anything bad to say about her. So that decision to run was hard because, you know, there's some stigma against running against an incumbent.
Of the same party.
Yeah, exactly. Of the same party. But the drive didn't go away. The motivation to want to represent my county didn't leave me. So simply having an incumbent there was not enough reason for me not to run. So the other question, who recruited me? Really no one.
Would you have run against Kathleen?
I would have. I actually announced before she withdrew herself from re-election or running again, which was a tough decision, and I did get a lot of flack from it. But like I said, that feeling of drive and motivation didn't go away, and I struggled with it for about a good 6 months and finally came to the realization.
Well, that feeling of drive and motivation comes from where?
Just wanting to represent my community. I've been a public servant for since I was 18, since I moved to the county when I was a teenager. Started in as a firefighter and EMT, and that's where the drive came from. And going to the county commissioner meetings, by about a good 30 or 40 years, I'm the youngest person there. So, you know, my friends and people my age, their voices weren't being heard, and they didn't really have the luxury of going to county commissioner meetings at Monday morning, 9 a.m.
And how is it that you do?
Well, I work in healthcare, so it's semi-flexible. I get to make my own hours. I work per diem status, so I get to plug myself into the calendar. So I generally make 75% to 80% of the meetings, but sometimes I do have to work and miss.
And when you work in healthcare, what sort of work do you do?
I work in the emergency department. So I work here in Port Townsend and as well as the two ERs in Kitsap County, so Bremerton and Silverdale.
So you travel from place to place.
I do.
And are you like a medical assistant?
So I'm an emergency room technician.
Uh-huh,
so okay. In emergency room, you typically had a doctor, a nurse, and the ER tech.
Okay, and you're running as a Democrat. In Jefferson
Yes, sir.
County, the Democratic Party has pretty much split apart. The progressives, I guess I'll put it this way, on one side, and the others who are either the leftovers, I think I've heard them call themselves the True Blues.
Yeah, I've heard that as well.
Uh-huh. So why the schism? Which group do you affiliate with?
Sure.
Yes, that's the question.
So, yeah, there definitely is, as you said, a schism. And I think that comes from the 2016 primary. We all remember how contentious that was.
Bernie versus Hillary.
Exactly, but it brought a lot of new people into the party, and that's kind of when I came in. I've always been a voter, but I never really took part civically in local politics until Bernie specifically called out to my generation, and that's how I got kind of brought into the fold.
It's not good for the party that it be divided like this. Have you?
It's not.
What have you done to try to bring it back together?
So I sit on the executive board. I'm a state committeeman, so I represent all the Democrats at the state level, and I'm one that can really. And I've tried to reach out to both sides. It's really tough because there was a lot of hurt feelings when the reorg happened in December. Because there's a lot of people that were there for a long time and did a lot of good work. So I just continue to try to be you know, an advocate for the party and listen to both sides. It's really tough sometimes, but I think we've done better in the last 2 years. We still have a lot of struggles that we're getting through, but I think each passing month is getting better. We're bringing in new people into the party that had no real experience at all. So
no, I don't come to meetings except the one meeting where you saw me moderate.
Yeah.
Generally,
yeah, thanks for
I don't
that.
Come to. You're very welcome. I don't come to meetings, but my sense is that the progressive wing of the party is much interested in national politics and perhaps international politics. I've wondered how much attention you care to give to local matters. You're running for county commissioners.
Yeah.
That implies that you do tend to give that attention.
Absolutely.
But nevertheless, the progressive wing is all about the country, I think.
I think they do focus a lot on national politics, but it all comes down to, you know, they say all politics is local. And it really is, because if a local party is operating the way it's supposed to, then like we have PCO races right now. And those are precinct committee officers. They're basically your neighborhood advocate. So really a local party should be telling and directing the state party, and then through that, the DNC, what we want for our state and our communities. So focusing on the national level really is just a reflection of local politics.
Okay, let's talk about some specific District 3 issues.
Yeah.
Mark Rose was on the show, well, actually on the before this show called Can't Wait for Salad. And then Bob Rosen was here a short while ago.
Yeah.
Two different opinions about the Black Point Resort.
Mm-hmm.
I'll call it that because that's a quick way of putting it.
Yeah.
So as you know, the Board of County Commissioners has basically given a, I would say, somewhat vague green light to that project. What's your position on it?
So I am opposed to the resort. I'm a resident of Brennan. I did listen to your interview with Mr. Rosen, and I think he kind of overgeneralized a little by saying the vast majority of the South County is in favor of it. I've talked to many businesses in Brennan, and the majority of them are against it on a personal and a business level. This resort is just, it's a massive scale, and I think it'll change the feel and why we live in South County, and specifically Brennan. You know, I understand that it is, the area is marked as is zoned as an NPR, but so Brennan has a sub area plan. And
which is not an NPR.
It's not, but that's where it specifies it. So in the sub area plan, it says, you know, it envisions an NPR here, but on a smaller scale than the resort in Port Ludlow. So this is, I do agree it could have benefits to our area, but to say that it'll provide living wage jobs, I don't agree with that. I don't know anyone in the area that will, you know, work there. We have jobs in the county, and we have a hard time filling them.
Really? In the South County, too?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Many of the restaurants down there always have help wanted signs. Facebook ads, there's always help wanted. It's hard filling jobs. And I think, you know, Jefferson County, our biggest export is young people. We don't have the resources here to support family age and working class individuals.
Why did you choose Brennan as a place to live?
I love Brennan. I've lived all over South County. Before Brennan, it was Discovery Bay. But Brennan is just an amazing community. I serve senior meals there at the community center. So my wife and I have a small mobile food business, so we really enjoy cooking.
Hey, what kind of food?
Mexican, so tacos.
Really?
Yeah.
I have not seen this.
Yeah, Revolution Tacos.
I have. Where would I have seen this?
So we're out at Maristone Vineyards. Last week we were at Port Townsend Vineyards. We're going to do Wooden Boat Festival. So we get around.
So as county commissioner, if you're elected, of course, as county commissioner, is there anything you could or would do to either reduce or entirely stop the Black Point Resort?
I respect the process, and you know, I will do everything within my power and authority to make sure the process is handled correctly. My biggest concern with it was the size of it. 890 plus units is just, in my opinion, way too massive. If I was in the current commissioner's seat, I would have put conditions on it. I know they put 30 odd conditions, but I would have tried to really scale down the unit size.
So you may be too late to the party on that one, but at least we have some notion
of
how you feel about it.
Yeah, and it's probably going to be an ongoing issue, especially with the appeal going through.
And you're not too late to the party if the party is the Cedar Hill Recreational Facility. That's Joe D'Amico's shooting range, right?
Tarboo Ridge.
And Tarboo Ridge, right? What position do you take on that?
So I am in favor of the moratorium that the county commissioners passed. I do believe that this, I've heard it stated as a paramilitary, you know, compound. It's definitely more than just a shooting range. You know, there's going to be some helicopter landing pads there. It's not, I'm opposed to it much of the same reason why I'm opposed to the NPR. It's just, it's not conducive of our rural character. I really sympathize with the residents around that area.
Would you support a shooting range of some sort in that area?
Maybe not in that area. The only way I could see myself supporting any range in any kind of residential area, if it was in an indoor shooting range, that will mitigate the environmental impact, the noise ordinance. But the county has a committee set up now that are going over all of the ordinances and rules that we want to set forth as a county.
And are you participating in that process?
I'm not. The committee is already formed and going forward. They're looking at neighboring counties and counties throughout Washington to see what can fit for our county as well.
It does sound like the strongest support is in favor of something that is indoors, although...
Yeah, that's... it makes sense in our area mm-hmm. when we have so much... inclement weather, and it's
that
just
too,
it's,
yes.
it's convenient for any residents that have to live in that area. I go to county commissioner meetings and I hear pretty much on a weekly basis recordings of the Port Townsend gun range. So the neighborhood around there have some concerns with the shooting
range. And actually, back to Black Point.
Yeah,
did you participate in any of the meetings? Did you testify?
I did. Yeah, and I've also had a 2-hour long meeting with an individual that works for the NPR, and I toured the facility. It's a beautiful marina, and I don't begrudge them that. I believe that they will invest a lot, and they have invested a lot in the area.
Did you tour the remains of the campground?
I haven't been up there,
it's
no.
It's kind of spooky. No, I haven't been there since I was involved in the. I was on the Planning Commission, uh-huh. involved in writing a comprehensive plan, and somehow that brought us to the campground, which even then was no longer an active campground. And it just seemed like a disease, a plague had spread, and all the people were gone, and the infrastructure, some of it remained, and of course it was all grown over.
And that brings me to a thought that we actually need more campgrounds in that area. Drive down 101 and our campground's right outside the road. We have signs, campground full, and it's like that every year. So we need more campgrounds in our area. People come to our area during the summer not to sit in a resort and look out a window, but they come to really experience what we have to offer.
The sense I'm getting is this joint is jumping. The ferries are packed.
Yeah.
Difficult to get on ferries, mm-hmm. all kinds of things like that. Yeah. Anyway, you're running for the seat, District 3 seat, right? And the question comes whenever I talk to a candidate for county commissioners, what special responsibilities, if any, do you have to the citizens of your district relative to the citizens of other districts?
I think that's a good question, and that's I get similar questions because, you know, I guess most campaigns, they get their walking list and they get their likely voters. So if they're Democrat, they most likely go to Democratic voters, and there's some strategy there. But I'm not doing that at all. I'm hitting every door I can, and I'm talking to every person I can, whether they're independents, Democrats, or Republicans. If I get elected or when I get elected, I want to say that I can represent everyone in District 3. And the only way I can do that is by really talking to everyone. So I'm really taking that seriously.
And if indeed you do get through the primary mm-hmm. and you're nominated and you go on to the general election, will you be doorbelling the entire county?
Absolutely. Yep. I've already gone through two pairs of tennis shoes already.
How do you find there are some candidates who avoid doorbelling. There's others who enjoy it.
It's,
how is it for you?
I really enjoy it, but it's really tough because you know, people don't like you coming to their door just out of the blue, and I understand that.
How about their dogs?
Everyone has dogs in this county. I have three myself, but most of them are friendly, haven't been bitten yet.
You take pepper spray and dog biscuits both?
I should take dog biscuits. That's a good idea.
And you do take pepper spray?
I don't, no.
Okay, so you take nothing?
No, just my palm cards and start walking.
What do you think a county commissioner could do to attract big box retail to the county?
Well, I don't know that we want big box retail to the county. I want to make it easier for small businesses to actually thrive in the area. My wife and I, like I said, we have a small business, and we had to jump through the hoops of public health department and so on. And there's a lot we can do to make it easier. I've also worked in Kitsap and Clallam County with my small business, and the regulations there are much more laxed and conducive to small businesses.
For a taco truck?
Yeah, absolutely.
I would have thought the regulations primarily were state health regulations.
They are, but so the public health department, they have their own kind of system and procedures that they adhere to.
Uh-huh. Promoting economic growth, that's the term we hear, economic growth, economic development, mm-hmm. to me reminds me of an update, contemporary lingo for a chicken in every pot, and I believe it was a Model T.
And every garage,
Every garage, indeed. Yep. So it seems like economic development is the work of private enterprise, not the work of government. What can or what should government do to promote economic development? And for that matter, if you want to try to define that term,
sure,
you're welcome to do that too.
Yeah, I think it shouldn't rest solely on government. In my opinion, it should be a private-public enterprise. So down in Brennan, for instance, we struggle with internet, high-speed internet. So I can't even get CenturyLink or Quest, for example. But there's an individual out there, a local company, North Olympic Peninsula Data Center. And so what he's doing is he's having high-speed internet microwaved across from Kitsap County onto Mount Jupiter, and from there it's broadcasted out to the Valley of Brennan. And that's something that we should really look at and look at partnering with. You know, I know the PUD, they're looking at trying to get the internet infrastructure up and going. But I think that could be a huge economic driver. It's 2018. Internet is becoming as important as electricity and water. And
it's a utility.
It's a utility, absolutely. Yeah.
So that's one thing you could do. How mm-hmm. about, I would say, larger scale promotion, larger scale developments?
Yeah, so.
But not Black Point.
I think it has to be conducive to the rural character of why we all live here or moved here. One of my big concerns when I get elected is wanting to really work with the Department of Community Development. So they're the department that does all of the permitting in the county. And in a lot of instances, that's the first department that a new resident interacts with. So I think we need to make that process easier. And to do that, I want to create a task force of homeowners, contractors, septic designers, and really go through the work of what's hindering the process. Why are we, so far behind on permits? Part of the reason is the DCD is understaffed.
I was going to say it's a matter of personnel, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Prior to 2008, the DCD, Department of Community Development, were funded by taxpayers. They drew from the general fund, and business was great then. Port Ludlow was, going through 50-plus permits a year. After 2008, things changed, and the department moved to a model of being self-sustaining and reaping the permitting fees to keep going. And I don't think that model's working right now. And I think,
Where would the money come from if it doesn't come from permit fees?
Well, I think if we just streamline the process and we're able to, we can't wholly get rid of the permitting fees. I mean, that should go towards a DCD. But I think the key is streamlining the Department of Community Development and working out the problems that the sticking points.
Well, community development takes me right to not just affordable housing, but housing in general. Discussion gets muddled, I think, because sometimes it's talking about people who are homeless. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's talking about people who can afford some housing, but the cost of housing is so high that they can't afford much of any kind of housing that they particularly like. But now there is a shortage of rentals and properties for sale. What can you do as county commissioner to address that issue? How would you go about it? Would you increase supply? Would you somehow reduce demand?
So I think the key is to increase supply, because there is a shortage. And to do that, we need the infrastructure to support it. So we need a sewer system. Brennan does have a sewer, but right now it only works for the state park. But they build it in a way that the community can tie into it if they choose to.
The community want to pay to do that?
That's a discussion that we need to have.
You haven't had it?
No, and I plan to actually have a town hall for Brennan. So after we just had a forum out there, and I got a lot of discussion from them. And so I plan to have a forum in Brennan to see what the community wants for themselves. And that's the way I want to govern, is I really want to be out on the streets. I don't want to be stuck in Port Townsend the whole time. I want to be in my district and with
the
people.
You are thinking about Brennan as far as development and sewers, and I understand that often when it comes to sewers, that conversation is focused on what's called the tri-area.
Sure.
And
Hadlock.
We'll really say Hadlock.
Yeah.
And candidates criticize the existing board because nothing has been done, mm-hmm. and really nothing has been done. There still is no sewer in Port Hadlock and Irondale. What do you think you could do that hasn't been done to make that come about?
Well, you're right. That has been a long standing issue. And so the need for a sewer in Hadlock will really change things. It'll make Port Hadlock and the surrounding area a urban growth area, which means you can add, apartment buildings if that's where you want to go. I want to do small home villages. That's more my style. I grew up in an apartment building, and sometimes it can be undignified. And
where was this?
Southern California. So uh-huh. I moved to the county when I was 16, and that's a whole other story.
Did you do that on your own or with your family?
My past was, my childhood was a little rough. Mom and dad were drug addicts, and so they split up. Found my dad when I was 16, and he lived here in Quilcene. He was then clean and a really good guy, so met him over the internet, spent a summer up here, then moved when I got out of high school and fell in love with Jefferson County.
And you've been here since.
I've been here since,
yeah. You're not exactly. That's not that long ago.
I'm 31.
Yeah, it's not been, that long ago at all. So back to what can be done to bring that sewer to Port Hadlock.
I think we have to look at new technologies. So when I hear this issue come up at county commissioner meetings, there's examples of, well, we can, instead of building out a new treatment center in the UGA area, we can pipe it all up to Port Townsend and have it run through there. I'm not sure that'll work. Most of the cost, from what I understand, comes from actually laying pipe, busting up the road.
It's a long pipe.
It's a long pipe. I think just being advocates for the area and really having an honest discussion with the residents and seeing if they want a local improvement district tax that they'll have to pay for their
area. So by the time you take office, if you're elected, the recent, I think, presently ongoing comprehensive plan update probably will have been finished.
I think so, yeah.
I think so, too.
They're going through a lot of amendments with it right now.
So what's your assessment of the process, and what would you like to do to change, change the comprehensive plan as it's now written, or will be amended to be written?
Yeah, I'm interested to see how it gets, what it looks like when it's finalized. But the comprehensive plan is the community's voice in telling their government what they want for the next 20 years for their community. So I really want to respect that process. I'm really good friends with Cynthia Cohen. She's the chair of the Planning Commission, and they put in a lot of work and a lot of meetings went into it. So I really want to respect that process and respect what the community is saying that they want.
Okay, and actually in 45 minutes, by the way, I should have said more than just this once or twice, that you're Ryan McAllister running for County Commission District 3. In 45 minutes, I'll have John Cook, who's the Republican running for the same position, and he's very, very critical of the comprehensive plan. You are not.
No.
I will also ask him about our president.
Okay.
You know, might as well. He's a Republican.
Sure.
And I'd be curious how he's relating to what we learn about the president, policies, behaviors, and so on. So I should ask you the same question.
Sure.
I'm asking you the same question.
All right. I do have a lot of criticism for our president, Donald Trump, but I do not advocate further polarizing our political process. I see it here at the local level, and it's getting us nowhere. I just watched the C-SPAN yesterday, a hearing, and all it was parliamentarian procedure, and nothing was getting done. So I am worried about the future of our country, but I see a lot of motivation in young people and people my age. So I think our best years are ahead of us as a country. I think we're pulling together.
Who would you like to vote for president in 2020?
Bernie Sanders, unequivocally. Mm-hmm. And I believe he's running again.
I believe you're right about that. And you're not concerned about his age?
No, absolutely not. I mean, he was running laps around Donald Trump last 2016. And, if he needs a wheelchair pusher, I'll be that guy for him.
Yay. Thank you, Ryan McAllister.
Thank
Good
you,
luck,
sir. Thank
by
you.
By the way, and I may well see you again before the general election in November.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking the time.
You're very welcome. That's what we're here to do. Shake your hand and send you on your way. Ryan McAllister, as I said, running for County Commissioner, District 3.